the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Hello, listeners. We thank God for the opportunity to be back again to speak to you the word of the Lord. We'll read again Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to 3. Therefore, living the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we'll do if God permits, and we trust that the Lord is permitting us to bring this word to you. I want to call your attention to a word here from this passage we have read, and it says unto perfection. A perfection there means maturity, to come to a full age, full maturity in knowledge, in understanding, in character, and so on. This is perfection. And this is the will of God for every child of God, to come to perfection. The Bible says that we may be filled with the fullness of God. And that's the reason why we have been bringing this word to you. We also believe in that which was spoken by Paul in Colossians. Please turn with me to Colossians again, and I want us to see this issue there. What is the reason for bringing the word to us? This reason is explained in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word perfect is here used to every man perfect in Christ. This is the will of God, that will come into perfection, to come into maturity in the things of God. And that's why the seven fundamental principles of Christ, it's important that we have them. And that's why we have been teaching them, because it's like when you want to build a house, the foundation must be solid, must be strong, must be proper to carry what you are going to build on the foundation. And these seven principles of God, like we say, the first principles of the oracles of God, are important. And that's why the scripture says, this we will do if God will permit. Why won't God permit us to move on to perfection? We will not be allowed to go into perfection, or we cannot reach perfection if the foundation is not right. And that's why we are bringing this word to you. And like we have seen again in that teaching, and warning every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. This is the will of God. Our maturity, our fullness, to come in the fullness and the stature of Christ is our goal. But we must have the foundation if we are to move on to this realm of perfection. And so that's why we are bringing the word to you. We've been speaking on these issues. We've spoken on the revelation of Christ. We've spoken on the issue of repentance from dead works. We have been speaking on faith toward God, and want to continue today on the issue of faith toward God. I want to read a scripture, something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. It was the story or the parable of the woman who went to an unrighteous judge and was asking the judge to please avenge her. And eventually, the judge said to himself, this woman has been coming. If I do not do what she's asking me, she's wearing me with her coming, rather. And then the judge was willing to do what the woman was asking of him. And Jesus said this in conclusion, and verse 7 and verse 8 of Luke chapter 18, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That last part, shall he find faith on the earth? It shows that it's possible that faith will be very, very scarce at the coming of the Lord. True faith will be very, very scarce at the coming of the Lord. Why? The word bear long. And in other words, the Lord is saying, there shall not go avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him. They are his elect, but they cry day and night to him. And it's possible that God will be along with us in certain situations. But the elect will continue to cry. Elect will not look at the length or the time, but he will know that God, having spoken to him, God will perform his word. And that's faith. And the aspect of faith we want to begin with today is that sometimes faith is tried. Faith is tested. And when our faith is tested or tried, it's not because we are not his people. Indeed, he said even the elect here, that God may be along with his elect. He may see them crying, because in faith is to develop our character. We spoke about this the last time. God can answer our prayer immediately, having spoken to us, if we are far from the Lord. Remember, we have said that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. When God has spoken to you, God will do what he has spoken. When you respond in faith to what God has spoken to you, God will honor your faith. But the scripture shows that sometimes God delays. Like we have read in this scripture, that he will bear long. It's possible the Lord will hold on, or the Lord may not come at the time that we have set for him to come. But it says because of that, true faith will not go away. True faith will remain. True faith will be tested. But if it is true faith, it will stand. And that's why I want to read another scripture to us, and trusting that this will bring comfort to some of us who the Lord has spoken to us. You've heard the word of the Lord, you've been standing, and yet it appears that there's a delay, or indeed that the faith will not be honored. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. It said, this is 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want you to see this, that beyond faith to get answers, to get result, God is also working through our faith to bring about in us his character, his nature, that is precious than gold. And he said, in God's view, God is looking at how he will work his character into us, so that when it comes at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith would have gone beyond just giving us things. It will also have given the opportunity for Christ to be formed in us. Jesus asked the question, when he comes in the last day, and we're in the last days, he said, will he find faith? Will he find genuine faith? Will he find genuine faith? Those who will stand in faith. This principle worked out in the life of Abraham too, the faith being tested in the place of delay. And then we'll see this in Romans chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 17. And it says, as it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that they might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. For now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. So we see here the test of faith in the life of Abraham. The scripture says, God spoke to Abraham and said to him that he's given him a promise to become a father of many nations. And then we know that Abraham had to wait for the birth of Isaac for about 25 years. And the scripture says here that in the period of waiting, encounter this, the deadness of his own body biologically and the deadness of Sarah's womb biologically. It means God tested their faith until they came to a place where it is no longer possible, humanly possible, I should say, to give birth to the child of promise. So at this point, we can see what we are saying, that faith is tested, it's tried, like we have read in the book of Peter, that our faith being tested, much more precious than gold. So we see that the faith of Abraham and Sarah, their faith was tested. But it says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now we see here, the scripture says he did not stagger at the promise for these 25 years. Well, as I read the life of Abraham, I know there are times that Abraham went to God and said, God, how long will I wait? I know there was a time he said to God, let Ishmael live. I know there are times that his faith was tested. But the testimony of the scripture is that he did not stagger. That God will fulfill his promise. The difference here is this. Where his faith was tested, not stagger at the promise of God. He held on. That's the faith of that woman who went to the judge. He kept going on. Abraham believed. I like the word here. It says, and being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded that he that had promised is able to perform. The scripture said, blessed is she that believeth, because there shall be a performance of those things that are spoken by the Lord. And I like this also, the scripture said, because he believed, it was given to him for righteousness. This is the point I want to make here very clearly. God was working character into Abraham while he was waiting for Isaac. I don't know, this night, as you listen to me, you may be going through your test of faith. Every one of us, our faith will be tested. Genuine faith will be tested, but genuine faith will stand. It doesn't matter the time, it will stand. When God has spoken to you, you can be sure that God will perform what he has spoken to you. But if you have to wait, it doesn't matter, maybe for a year, for 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years, it may be, but you can be sure that God will fulfill his word. And that's when Jesus said, will I meet faith when I come back? He's speaking to believers, because our faith will be tested. Like Peter said, gold is tested in fire, so the faith of the people of God will be tested. Now, I want to encourage you this time, as you listen to me. It's possible sometimes God has given us a promise that he's going to do this and do that, and we have been faithful in following God. I'm not talking about those who have not been faithful, those who don't walk with God, but I'm talking, you have been faithful and you are following God and you have been consistent in your walk with God, like Abraham, and yet it appears that what God has promised you has been delayed. You have waited. In fact, like we have read here, the deadness of the organs of his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, it is evident that nothing. And it happens like this. Sometimes God gives a promise, you get to a place that it looks humanly impossible that what God has spoken will ever come to pass. If God has spoken, God will do that which he has spoken. We need this faith. I want to remind you the scripture we mentioned sometime ago on this program, John chapter 5, that says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to encourage you to hold on to your faith, to believe that which God has spoken, that God is able to perform that which he has spoken to you. Yes, delay may come. Yes, the situation may look as if it's not going to work out. I remember many years ago, somebody came to see me. He was to be in his job. He was to be posted to somewhere, and there's something happened in the place of work, and God has spoken to her about that situation, what will happen. But what was happening in that place of work was contrary to everything that God has spoken to her. And she came, as she was speaking to me, I remember this incident in the scripture where a man came to the Lord Jesus Christ to inform him about the sickness of a child. The scripture shows, as the Lord was on the way to the house of this man to heal his child, as something happened on the way, the woman with the issue of blood met the Lord on the way, and then touch him, and the Lord said, who touched me? While the father was waiting for Jesus to follow him to the house, somebody ran to the father from home and said, don't bother the Lord anymore, your child is dead. At that time, the Lord looked at him and said, keep believing. And I remember telling this woman, I said, well, this is what I will say to you. Keep believing. It doesn't matter what is going on. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what they say. You keep believing. Don't give up your faith. I want to say that to you as you listen to me. If God has spoken to you, I have it in my heart today to encourage you, to speak to you in your situation. If God has spoken to you, hold on to what God has spoken to you. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tried. We have seen in the life of Abraham that his faith was tested. In the life of every child of God, faith being tested and tried. But you have to stand. In this process of standing, God is doing something for you. God is working out character into you. Character of righteousness. Many people abandon this. They just think God is not going to be faithful, and they begin to try to work out their own salvation. They begin to look for solution. They begin to go from one place to another, and then they lose their faith. They lose their work. They lose what God is trying to work out into them. Impatience comes in, and they listen to people who talk them out of their faith. They listen to people who give them counsel, and they talk them out of their faith, and they tell them, will God do what he has promised that he will do because of this delay? Child of God, I want to assure you, this is why it is important for you to understand the principle of faith. If God has spoken to you, stand by what God has spoken to you. Yes, your faith will be tested, but stand by, because God is faithful to perform that which he has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. This is why we are bringing this message to you. It is time for us as people of God to function in that which is very, very fundamental to our faith. In doing this, I would like to read another scripture for us. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And now here it says, I want you to see the difference between hope and faith. Hope virtually is something natural. When you hear good news, when you hear other people talking, hope can be given to you. It's normal that when you are married and you hope that you have a child one day. When you are finished from school, you hope you get a job one day. When you are sick, you hope that you will be healed one way or the other. But what the scripture is showing to us here is that hope is not enough. And in the scripture we have read, the Bible says Abraham against hope, believe in hope. In other words, Abraham almost came to a place of hopelessness. But what helped Abraham was his faith. I want you to see the way it says it. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope talks of tomorrow. Hope says it will be well. Hope says God will do it. Yes, fine. But the scripture is showing that hope is not enough. You need to add this faith to hope, because faith is the tangibility, ability to stand, to see the hope become a reality. See, faith is the substance of what you are hoping for. Faith is in God. We are speaking to you about faith toward God. Faith in what God has spoken to you. Faith in that which God has spoken that has come into your spirit, into your heart. Are you following me, listener? Faith is that which God has spoken to you. Like we have read the scripture to you. He said, we therefore having the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. And then, therefore, when God has spoken to you, that's the substance. You hold on to that which God has spoken, and you believe that what God has spoken, God will do. So faith and hope, they help each other. That's the point I want to make by this scripture. I don't know what you are going through, but the reason we are speaking to you, that what we are saying to you will minister faith to you, so that you can join faith to that hope, so that there can become a reality of that which you are hoping for. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that the word that we have brought to you again will minister life to you, that you will not be the same again, and that the word of the Lord we have given to you will be a blessing to you. I pray that the Lord will visit in your situation. I want to pray for those of you whom you seem that you are in a hopeless situation. You are waiting for so long. I want to pray for you. Wherever you are, as you listen to me, please lay your hand. It's for healing. Lay your hands upon yourself. If for something in your body, lay your hand. If for a child, it's for a job. God has spoken to you, but it appears it has delayed. I want to join my faith with your faith at this particular point, and I want to pray with you. And Father, I just want to pray for those who have listened to your word. The scripture says you sent your word and healed them. You've given me this word to say it to your people who have listened today. And I'm joining my faith with their faith in their situation, in their dire needs, O God. Father, I'm praying, O God, that there'll be a quickening. The Bible says you are the one who quickens the dead. You are the one who brings hope back. You bring faith back in situations where there's no hope, where there's no faith, when men have waited and it appears it shall never be done, where it appears it's hopeless. I'm asking, Lord God, that you will quicken them back. I'm asking that faith will be quickened. Lord, that those who have lost faith and hope, they will return to a place of faith and hope in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the word they've had today will quicken faith back into their heart. That they will return to a place of being fully persuaded. That they will hold on back to what you have spoken to them. I pray, oh God, that there will be a quickening. I'm asking, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even at this time for them, oh God, that I wish they have hope, or let there be faith for them to believe you, to hold on to you and to see the result. I'm asking, oh God, for this person that I see now that seems to have a problem with his organ. I'm asking, oh God, healing for him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for those who are sick and praying for healing for them in the name of God. Receive your healing. Be touched from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I'm speaking to your organs to be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, receive your healing. I'm speaking for women who have trusted you, oh God, for many years for the fruit of the womb. As they lay their hands upon their womb, let there be life for that womb. Let there be healing for their wombs. Let there, oh God, be touch of your hand for their wombs in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for men who are trusting you. I'm asking you, oh God, that you will touch their reproductive organs in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah, by the hearing of your word today, let there be healing for them. I'm praying for those who are trusting for other things, trusting you for a job. There's somebody that's promised them here and there, they have been promised a job here and there, but there has been delay. I'm asking, oh God, that there be a quickening, there be a release now. I'm taking away every obstacle and every hindrance, that there be a release for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of your name. I pray for those who have been trusting you for their children, their problems in the life of their children. They have waited, they have prayed, it seems that it's hopeless. I'm asking, oh God, that you will touch their children wherever they are right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that there be, oh God, a visitation, a returning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that the prodigal sons will return, who have left home will return. I pray, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that children who are sick and their parents have been trusting you, I'm praying healing for these children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, as you listen, I'm releasing healing for you. I'm praying for the healing for marriages in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for healing for relationships in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying, oh God, for those who have been offended and robbed and wounded and they have lost hope. I'm praying for healing for them. I'm praying for deliverance for them in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for those who are in prison. They have been in prison and they have been trusting God for a release, that they will be released from this prison. Oh God, I'm praying, oh God, for them in the name of Jesus, that favor will come to them, that they will be released in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for those I see in the prison. They have come to trust you as their Lord and Savior, and they are trusting you that you will move on their behalf, and it appears they have been there for so many years and they are losing hope. I'm praying that, oh God, you intervene in their situation, that they will be released, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that the doors that have been closed against them will be open and they will be released in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may know that you are alive, that they may know that you are faithful, and so many other situations that I cannot mention. As I pray, oh God, at this time, I pray, oh God, for those who are believing you for one thing or the other, as they bow their heads, as they look up to you, as they reach out to you at this time, that you will visit them, that there will be testimony, there will be miracles in their lives, and that they may serve you because of your doing and because of your hand in their lives. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing for them at this time, and there will be testimony that will glorify your name. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses. endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again. endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power.